science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
And hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Think Works, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week we've got a very special show for you, Adventures in Music, why music is the magic of the universe and why rock music speaks to the human condition. Or very simply put, to use a line from a song by Utopia, the whole universe is a giant guitar. With me today, I have got a special guest, yay, my first one. Hi Steve.
Hi Darren, welcome everybody.
Steve Lowe is an old mucker of mine. How long we know one another now?
Since we're 13, so that's a long time.
A long time, very, very long time. Because we're only about 22 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, mentally we are anyway. Right, so we're just going to have a free-flowing conversation. We have got a little outline in front of us just to keep us on task so we don't ramble too much, because we have got a nasty habit of just chewing the fat when we get going. Steve and I share a real passionate love of music, especially rock music. So if you're not a rocker, don't worry, you're still going to find this episode very interesting. We're going to have a couple of different sections. The first one is to really see if we can tease out what the power of music is and how it can affect us in moving humans to do all kinds of different things. Let's begin. So we've already said that music holds a profound influence on humans. It can captivate our emotions, thoughts and physical responses. And it is so powerful in driving emotional, psychological and physiological dimensions. We're going to talk a little bit more about that right now. We'll start with emotional impact.
I mean, obviously we are old rockers, but I think music as a whole, it just makes life a bit better. It makes people feel emotionally. It could be good, it could be sad, it could be happy, but it motivates people. And if you think about the amount of money and time and energy we put into this,
yeah,
it obviously is a very powerful force. But also you understand that it can ease negative emotions as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've got certain go-to songs that I will choose. Like if I need energy or if I'm feeling a little bit down, I just need a lift. There are three or four songs that I know if I put them on and start just belting them out to the best of my ability, because I can't sing, but hey. And it just changes the mood.
It does. But I also think it helps people empathise with you.
I think so.
Yeah. So if you're down and you're listening to music with a friend, they can pick you up, okay? It can make you feel sad, yeah, obviously, but sometimes you need that cathartic outlaying, actually, to make you feel better.
Yeah, it's almost like the notes massage different parts of your brain or your emotions, and just they kind of it just seems to hit a person where they need it most.
But I think also taps into the memory as well of the history, past events they've had, good and sad, which actually can be a very emotive thing to change how you're going to be feeling that day.
Yeah, the psychological effects are massive. I mean, as you said, if you've got if you're going through any kind of upset in your life, it can make you cry. It can help make you cry, which is often, you know, it's good release of emotions and what have you. But there's also that real kind of feel good factor, like dopamine. It just generates that kind of hormonal response.
Because it engages the brain.
Yeah,
that's what the thing. I mean, that's. You said emotion comes from the heart, but it's the brain that triggers that dopamine, and that's what's going to make you feel better or sad, as the case.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I also find that a particular song will come on at random, and it'll remind me of something from the past, hopefully a good memory, not necessarily always, but when it does, it really kind of, you go straight to that that scene, really. And it's always good.
It is.
I've just hit the mic.
Also, it's like when you've got a new album or when you're going to go to a concert, you get excited.
Yeah.
You get excited to listen to it, and that gets you in the mood, and that can be a great motivational thing as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a shared experience as well when you go to gigs, because you've got that almost kind of tribal feeling, which is what we lack quite a lot of these days. It's the reason why in some ways social media is negative, because it gives you a tribe, but it's not necessarily a healthy tribe. Whereas if you go to a gig and you're surrounded by like-minded mm-hmm. people who enjoy the music that you're going to see or listen to, then you are sharing with your tribe.
Correct.
A fantastic evening out, or an afternoon, or whatever festival you're at.
Because you do get, obviously, cross genres and people like lots of different music. But if you're at a Beyoncé concert, right? Yeah. You're going to have a different type of outlook than if you are going to be at a rock concert. Rock is a little bit more, I would say, not aggressive, but I'd think a little bit more tribal.
It is, definitely. And you only have to look at arguments about which Black Sabbath singer is the best Black Sabbath singer, which is just, to me, it's a nonsense argument, because it's like, you know, Ozzy Osbourne era Black Sabbath was amazing, Ronnie James Dio era was amazing, Tony Martin era was amazing, but they're different types of Black Sabbath. And so long as it's got Tony Iommi in it, to me, it's Black Sabbath.
But that's why music is so personal.
It is.
I mean, for me personally, I don't particularly like rap or garage. I don't get it. But a lot of people relate to it, certainly probably the younger generation, because it makes them feel different. They may have something they're unhappy about or even happy about.
Yeah.
And that ticks the boxes for them. Well, we'll go on to the rock bit later. But what I will say is, generally, and we'll go into the evolution of it, rock has been around for decades, unlike probably modern pop or maybe even rap.
So. Yeah, I think you're right. I think the genres come and go, but rock seems to stay. And we'll, as you said, we'll talk more about that and the reasons for it later in this episode.
But if just to go back to the general topic of music, and you think about why it's so powerful, I think it, although it's got a personal thing to it, unites people as well.
Yeah.
You think when you go to a football match, a rugby match, play the national anthem, most people will sing it, or they'll know it and sing along. Yeah. It brings them together. And likewise, the opposite thing, like protest songs.
Yeah.
Again, unites people who might be for or against a particular thing. Things like a love song in the early days of a relationship, it does bring you close together. So it's just so emotional thing, albeit personal, it does bring people together.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about music, because it can either give you that real kind of lift, it can give you energy, it can clear the mind and give you that kind of focus that you need if you're working on a paper, for example, or if you're just trying to relax and meditate, it can help with that. And it can make you as sappy as a 1970s TV love romance movie. It's true though, isn't it? It just, music can affect you, even if you're not consciously aware that it's changing your mood. It can do.
It's been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And it transcends all genres, all religions, all faiths, anything. Because, you know, what makes somebody else happy may make somebody else sad. And it's that personal thing.
Yeah. I mean, what's that line from Spirit of Radio by Rush? The random music makes your morning mood. It's just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So we're just having a conversation, so it's not structured in any real way, but we've kind of covered emotional impact of music, we've looked at some of the psychological effects of music, and we've discussed some of the physiological responses. Is there anything else you want to come back on that?
I think if you look at it from, you say, psychologically, physiology, I think they've proved now, and certainly in the States now, from a science perspective, music now can help people heal. It can improve your memory. And they've realised that by people who are looking forward to listen to music are more liable to be able to learn from what they're being taught.
Yes.
In terms of like rehabilitating and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it comes back to the idea, I mean, we've seen it in every medical TV drama ever, of people in a coma and the doctor always says, play some of their favourite music. And you see them come in with tapes and they put them on and it's their favourite music. And artists will send messages of get well soon for them to be played while this person is in a coma. And there's all kinds of studies that have shown that the music does get through people, even in a coma. Parts of their brains become more active when music is playing. It's just incredible.
Not related to that per se, but looking at people who maybe actually have learning difficulties, yeah?
Yeah.
Some studies have shown that if you have to recall, read and then recall a list of words,
yeah,
as an example, right? When you've listened to music, you read the words, listen to the music, for some reason you can recall those words better.
Fantastic.
Because it releases a lot more neurochemicals in your brain, which then helps you with your memory.
Yeah.
It helps with your thought process.
Yeah, because you're linking, I guess it's because you're linking multiple themes in your brain together, and so one reinforces the other.
Yeah, and it uses different parts of your brain,
yeah,
as well.
Absolutely brilliant. This is why when I decided I was going to do a podcast on music, I wanted to really focus on the idea of it being magic. Because, you know, we don't have magic as a force like Harry Potter in this universe, but we've got music, and to me, that is what our magic is. The fact that humans, and not just humans, but, you know, you got your birds and a lot of animals will do some kind of singing. Dogs will join in singing. Cats will.
Look at our ancestors,
yeah,
the tree dwellers, as they're called, yeah, whether you believe in that or not. I mean, they used to actually make the sounds to call to each other, to communicate,
yeah,
together as a troop and a tribe, okay? And that goes back millennia. So,
yeah,
it's always been there.
It's always.
And I think it's fascinating as well, you know, they talk about the power of music. How many mothers out there sang or spoke to their baby in the womb?
Absolutely.
Because that just builds the connection,
yeah,
before the baby's even born. I mean, it releases, again, more chemicals, you know,
yeah,
fosters that relationship.
Yeah, it is... I really just love this whole idea. And we're going to come back to, you talked about, you know, it's always been with us right from the distant past. I'm going to talk to some reasons why that might be later on in the podcast when we get into the whole idea of the universe being a giant guitar. But in terms of just the impact it has on humanity here and now, I mean, rebel-rousing songs and, you know, marches that have certain chants that are made, football chants, it's all there, isn't it? All tribal.
And now do the football fans know to sing the exact same song at the
same time.
There's nobody there in the background clapping wrong or singing their own words. It's just
magic. The shared consciousness that gets attuned to a musical,
yeah,
tune. It's just
brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, we've touched on some of the effects that music can have on us psychologically and emotionally, but I think there's a lot more that we can draw out on that, isn't there?
There is. I mean, one thing I would like to mention, it's not just about emotional and mental, it's also your health, physical health.
Yeah.
How it can impact you. I mean, everybody likes to dance. I mean, some dance better than others, don't they, Darren?
Daddy dance.
But when you're dancing, you know, all these chemicals are being released, but it's improving your heart rate. It's actually going to impact your blood pressure, depending on the music intensity and tempo. So that's a form of exercise which helps you. You've all got to think about how it boosts your performance. You see lots of people jogging, walking and that, they've got headphones on. And I find, I'm listening to music, I can walk further. I might even walk a bit faster.
Yeah.
So it's actually helping you go high-intensity training. And I think athletes will say, when they're training, they have music on.
They do.
It focuses the mind and you actually concentrate and get better performance. And I think another one as well is about pain control. Because if you're in pain and you listen to music,
yeah,
you're focusing on different things. And the pain might still be there, but you're not probably feeling it as much because you concentrate on the music that's making you feel better. And they are important drivers.
They are, and because it releases natural painkillers as well.
Yeah.
Music can help the brain release endorphins and other natural painkillers. And as you say, it takes that focus away, which is always great. I mean, I meditate a lot, but I don't do guided meditation so much. I find a piece of music that I then just listen to. You know, like I do all the hippie stuff with the incense sticks and everything else. But I just close my eyes and I just drift with that piece of music. And I do find that I feel much better afterwards than I did before I went into that state.
That's a great comment, mate. Darren, because I won't go into the details, but I had to have an MRI scan,
yeah,
a few weeks ago, a bit scary. And when they get me prepared, they said, right, what music channel do you want on? So what do you mean? And they gave me the headphones.
Yeah.
They tuned me into, as it happened to be, Planet Rock, because I said I want some rock music. And I was in there for half an hour, and
yeah,
I just drifted away. And I wasn't really thinking about what I was going through. I was a noisy machine, but the music just let me drift away.
Yeah.
And it was just so powerful.
Yeah, the music does that. It's absolutely incredible. Where would we be I think, without it.
A lot less happy.
Yes, I think you're probably right. The world would be even more miserable than it is today.
Yeah.
Right, one of the other things that I know we're going to go on to talk about the evolution of rock music in a moment. One of the things that I wanted to start with here is, let's not forget about classical music. Because, and this is what a lot of people, I have to laugh at people, oh no, I love rock music, but I hate classical music. What people have to remember is composers of classical music back in the day were the rock and roll stars of their era. They were pushing musical boundaries that no one had even considered before. And heavy rock, in particular the kind of Led Zeppelin style of almost like a prog blues rock, if you look at the motifs, Deep Purple, early Deep Purple albums, if you look at the motifs, the structures are very similar to classical music. And that influence is a direct draw.
Well, wasn't Mozart the rock and roll rebel of his time?
He was.
He was out there. Wasn't
yeah,
he?
You know, he was well out
everywhere.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
So absolutely brilliant. So we'll talk about actually now. We'll talk about how the evolution of rock music and its human condition. So we spoke to some of the general impact of music in terms of the effects it can have on humans, in particular. What about us as individuals? I don't know about you, but music's always been a very important part of my life.
Unbelievable. I mean, I remember listening to Elvis on the record player, and my dad used to like The Shadows as well. And even from that early time, it just got, even as a kid, you know, I'm 5, 6, 7 years old, and I'm thinking, I really like this.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, what stood out for me is the guitar. That was very, very important to me. And I think as I got older, and then I could actually afford to buy an album.
Yeah.
I wanted things with guitars in them. And that's what was very, very important to me. Because I'd never heard anything like it before.
No.
You know, we had my mum and dad, they were listening to all the old crooners and Frank Sinatra and people like that. And as good as they are, it didn't move me.
No.
Person did not move me.
Yeah. I mean, the music to me, what it did for me was quite incredible because about 15 years ago, I mean, it's always been important. I grew up, like you did, I grew up on Roy Orbison, Elvis Presley, Gene Pitney, The Shadows. And then I had my musical awakening when I went to Germany on a school exchange trip at the age of 12 and 13 and 14, I think I was. And in those years, I got introduced to like the Alan Parsons Project, Eloy, and Genesis, and Yes, and Pink Floyd. Absolutely amazing, mind-expanding musical taste, which is great. But specifically, the incident I keep coming back to is about 15 years ago, I went to bed with a headache. I had a really bad headache. And when I woke up the next morning, I was effectively blind in my left eye. Couldn't see anything. It was all just a complete blur. Went to the hospital and I'd literally cataracts. I had cataracts that just come up really, really fast and just blotted out the left eye. And 2 weeks later, the right eye went. And let's just say the operations I had weren't particularly successful. They made a mess of my eyes. So for 2 years, I basically became a prisoner in my own home. I couldn't go out. I'd lost all my confidence. I couldn't see, and I've always been a visual person. And then finally, cut long story short, I got an experimental treatment on my eyes, restored about 80 to 90% of my sight, which is fantastic. But I was still a recluse. And then a friend of mine, Jody Holden, Jody, I'm going to make sure you listen to this podcast because I want to give you credit for this. A friend of mine, Jody Holden, she said, look, she said, enough of this now. I want you to come with me to Radio Barnsley. I went, oh, the heck's Radio Barnsley? Anyway, she took me to Radio Barnsley. And they were looking for DJs. And I'd always wanted to be a DJ, a rock DJ, thanks to Tommy Vance. And there it was. It was all there. And I just fell in love with the whole process. And that started the healing. Not the physical healing, the emotional and mental healing. And without that, without music actually driving me to do that, I'd probably still be a hermit right now.
Mm.
It's just incredible the impact it's had on my life. There's just so many other instances. My partner, we got together because of The Mob Rules by Black Sabbath. It's just, well, I mean, what an
random
album.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not a lovey-dovey album, is it? It's just, wow. So all of these kind of things affect us, and we don't even necessarily consciously become aware that they have. But if you all think back, and I challenge you all to do this, if you all think back, I am sure you'll find an instance in your life where music was really important and has had a profound effect on your direction of life.
I would always go back as well. Again, a very early album, it can be a bit deep, but what impacted me a lot was Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Yeah.
I still am an only child. So it brought me a lot of comfort, and sometimes I would rage against my parents.
Yeah.
Because being an only child, you're the best of everything, the worst of everything, all their hopes, all the dreams. And it put a lot of pressure on me, certainly going through my my early teens. And listening to that music just took me away from everything. And some of it made me sad, some of it made me angry, some of it made me happy. But to this day, it's still been my probably top 10 albums of all time.
Yeah.
It just always is there. It's a constant.
Yeah. I mean, this brings us nicely into the whole idea of rock music and how it reflects that human condition that we spoke about. What we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about the evolution of rock music, and then we'll talk about some specific examples, I think, of where we see it as having done that. Particular albums, particular songs. I think you made the point that rock music's been around like forever.
But it has, in one guise or another. I mean, I think most people who listen to rock music know it did actually probably evolve from the blues and bluegrass and all the stuff there from the slavery times. And what's prevalent again, and I keep going about this, is the guitar. It's just constant throughout rock music because it's got such a unique sound. And for me, such an emotional sound as well. So from evolution, we came from the blues and then went into, obviously, rock and roll, or early rock and roll.
Yeah.
Or jive stuff, all that kind of good stuff in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, I mean, and also rock and roll took some influences from country music as well.
Yep.
So you had that fusion of blues, and it's kind of anti-establishment, poor man motif, and then country and western, which was more about the white music, which had come from blues, but it was a kind of more, it's almost like a middle class spin on it.
It is, in
the kind of way. And then they fused together, and out came rock and roll, which was the music of rebellion.
I mean, you think when Bill Haley came on the scene, and then followed by Elvis, and kids, especially young girls, were going mad, and parents and preachers, you know, it's the music of the devil, it's going to turn them all into insane. And it's like, they just never heard anything like it. And it was moving people so much.
Yeah.
And it still does to this day. Yeah.
Which is kind of ironic, because when you think, again, there's a line from a Judas Priest song, Private Property, that goes, is this message getting through? You went through the same thing too. So the very people that were trying to get heavy metal banned, because it was the devil's music, as kids, as teenagers, had gone through it from their parents during the rock and roll years.
The thing is now, if you look at, I mean, we'll talk a bit more about the history, but if you look at it today, certain rock music now is revered. It's like, you know, people appreciate how good it is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be another genre will come through that me as a parent might go, why are you listening to this stuff? It's rubbish, you know.
Well, I do that with most pop music today, if I'm being honest. But yeah, I mean, it's just that fusion. And then just as rock and roll was dying in America in terms of its influence, along came the British invasion.
Yes, yeah.
And that was, if you're wondering, that's the Beatles, Rolling Stones, The Who example. And there were two invasions. The first one was the rock and rollers, The Who and The Rolling Stones, originally started off as British interpretations of American rock and roll, but then really went down into that harder, rebellious kind of motif in the lyrics and in their performances.
Yeah, exactly. And the guitars got heavier to obviously give that sense of that you were angry.
Yeah.
Or you were angst. I'm going to rebel up against everybody. You know what I mean?
And then from that, we got the second invasion of the British invasion, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and so on. And that is when I think true heavy metal, heavy rock really started to suddenly go, I'm my own identity now, I'm my own genre. I've got a little bit of blues, I've got a little bit of rock and roll, I've got a little bit of country and western, but I've got a lot of guitars and I've got massive attitude.
And you think about as well that second British invasion.
Yeah.
There was a resurgence then in American rock. You got the grunge scene, you got Nirvana, you got Pearl Jam coming in.
Yeah.
And the early British rock bands, or the second wave of them, influenced those bands. And then obviously America then had a resurgence in that kind of music. I think it's interesting as well, and maybe a lot of non-rock fans may not understand this, but if you do look into the history of it, rock did actually help. Things like beat music, alternative rock, punk, yeah, post-punk, even new wave. There was an influence in there.
Yeah, the motif is there.
Exactly. So you look at some of the modern bands that you guys listen to,
yeah,
some of them will say, well, I used to listen to X band when I was younger,
yeah,
and that would be a rock band. It's the influence it has on the individual, but it also has on the band and the music that are playing their stuff as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's their reference point.
And if you, and also, I mean, at this time as well, you've also got the growing psychedelic and prog movement, which came out of jazz. So the likes of Miles Davis and John Coltrane, who kind of really pushing what jazz could be, were really starting to bring, as you say, the guitar more to the fore. It wasn't just a case of saxophones and acoustics anymore. They were going down the electrics and experimenting. And then Miles Davis, of course, did the Bitches Brew double album, which just blew everyone's mind. And from that, you can see the direct correlation into psychedelic prog, and then prog as a movement on its own. Early Yes is jazz fusion. Mm. Genesis, early Genesis, is jazz fusion. And it's all there, and it all just combines into this wonderful sound.
But it's the ability, I think, also to tell a story. And I'm not saying other genres don't tell a story, but pop music, 3 minutes, it's upbeat, usually punchy, yeah, get the chorus, you have a dance to it, yeah, great stuff. But when you've got Genesis, you've got Yes, Dream Theatres, things, yeah, like that, who put together what people may think is boring, but maybe a 10, 12-minute song, and they sell a story to you, and,
yeah,
you get involved in that story.
Yeah.
And obviously as musicians,
yeah,
the second to none, so you engage with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and rock also gave us the whole idea of concept albums. You couldn't do, I mean, actually, I was going to say you can't do concept albums in other genres. There was one attempt to do a disco concept album. I had Francis Rossi and Dan McCafferty doing the vocals on some of the songs. It didn't work precisely because it lacked the gravitas that rock can give to a concept that can really sell. The prime example for me, I mean, you've picked The Wall, which has got its identity politics. It's kind of who am I in the shape of this almost barren world of absence of hope.
But it also tells the story,
yeah,
with Roger Waters being a young boy.
Yeah.
Obviously his father went to war, died in the war, I believe. And it was his life story as well, which,
yeah,
me personally, I could relate to certain things about, yeah, that. But I couldn't think of another band, or even a genre, let's say, who could ever get close,
yeah,
to doing something like that.
And again, definitely not a genre. I mean, the album that sticks out to me is Operation Mindcrime by Queensryche. Now, that was their third album, if memory serves. I'm doing this off the top of my head, folks, so, you know, if you go fact-checking, it's all right. I don't mind being told I was wrong, but I think it was their third album. And it just absolutely takes this idea of the deep state. So it takes the idea that there are shadowy forces in government that are secretly training and hiring and brainwashing individuals to be their wet works people, the people that go out and get rid of threats. But even within that, the concept is that the group that are working for the government are more interested in the financial return and the financial capabilities of the rich and powerful rather than the government of the nation. It is just such a stunning album from start to finish. It really gets you because there's all kinds of different imagery and motifs that it ties into the religious movement in America at the time and a certain amount of hypocrisy that was coming through with all these channels, and then all these reverends were getting caught, you know, with the altar boy or with the altar girl or whatever. And it was just such a powerful album that hits right between the eyes. Now, we've talked about the evolution of rock music, and we've spoken about its human condition and how it expresses that. Let's a quick summary then of what we've discussed in that section. So we talked about the fact that rock music is all about, or not all about, but greatly about rebellion and identity. So it's often associated with that, with themes of countercultural movements.
It's a massive influencer.
It is.
That's how I see, and we did touch on this, that it does transcend everything. Every religion has,
yeah,
got its own type of music. Each country has,
yeah,
its own type of music,
yeah,
that they listen to. And that's where the power comes from.
I think you're right. It can also be an emotionally cathartic process with rock music, because you've got that, you have to really belt out a tune if you're singing along to a rock song most of the time.
It is, and I think that people are recognising this as we evolve. And it might sound a bit silly, but there are professional music therapists now.
Yes.
Both in the UK and the States, right, who help people with the body, the mind and the overall health. And therefore, they are taking this to the next level. Not just something that we like to listen to,
yeah,
but something that's going to help people.
Absolutely. And then finally, what rock music provides is a social commentary. So we've mentioned The Wall, and it's look at identity in a world where there's no hope for a certain class of people. And we've talked about the albums of Queensryche. We've got Dream Theater, as you say, who've done Metropolis as a concept album. It's just absolutely superb how they talk about the trends and themes in a modern society and then expand them out to what they could potentially become, good or bad.
Mm. And also think about looking at rock as a genre that we both love. A lot of rock bands now, unless the actual members have died, are still going today.
Yeah.
And they were 40 and 50 years ago. They're still around, still playing similar music, still being watched and still doing gigs.
Yeah.
You can't say that with a lot of pop bands.
No. Anyone remember Gareth Yates? Just saying.
Well, unless you go on the Rewind concerts and see the old 80s, they're not really producing much more these days.
No, absolutely right. So, as we said, we wanted to really cover the whole idea of how music is magic and how rock music in particular speaks to the human condition. Let's now talk about the whole idea of going back in time and how music has become such an integral part of reality as we see it. And this is why I wanted to go into the whole idea of music being the magic of this reality. If we look at the building blocks of the universe, and this is where the whole idea of the whole universe is a giant guitar comes from. Basically, the idea is that particle building blocks and force building blocks are basically very tiny vibrating strings. And it's the frequency of which that string vibrates that actually decides what kind of particle or force that ultimate bit is going to be. So it builds and builds and builds on top of the vibrating string. So if you think about that, that means the entire universe is set to music. It's just mind-blowing. I mean, if you want to read up about this, please check out the works of Brian Greene in particular, because he's the one that got me into this whole idea and this concept. And if you're wondering what superstrings are, everyone knows about Einstein's theory of relativity. They might not know how it works, they might not know what it is per se, but let's just say that relativity works on the scale of the cosmos, on the cosmic level, on the very, very big. And we know that, scientifically speaking so far, because you never absolutely 100% prove anything scientifically speaking, you can only verify it by the latest experiment, we know that relativity works. It's enabled us to send probes out into the farthest reaches of the galaxy and beyond now, because we're actually traversing with Voyager through to the next galaxy out of the solar system. It's just mind-blowing that we can do that.
You've blown my mind already, Darren.
So that's relativity. And then we've got quantum mechanics, which is the really microscopic, very, 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 very tiny realm of science and how everything works there. And scientifically speaking, experiment after experiment has also proven that quantum mechanics, so far, is right. And we've used that to develop the kind of technologies that send fiber optics and network management and all this kind of stuff, right? So that's all that. Great. The only problem is that quantum mechanics and general relativity are mutually exclusive. One does not work with the other. So there's something missing, and this is called the Grand Unified Theory. So the leading contender in that is superstrings. And this is where the idea is that the strings and the way that they vibrate is what decides what kind of gravitational force we've got and what kind of electromagnetic force we've got and what kind of building block for matter we've got. It's all there. Right, have I lost you?
You might have lost the audience.
No. This is just fascinating stuff. If you can hear a bird singing, it's just literally perched on top of the studio and he's singing his heart out. How perfect is that? I don't know if you can hear him over the mics. So, having said all that, so we've got relativity, quantum mechanics, unified theory, which we're hoping is superstrings. If that is true, then the universe is essentially built on music. What it means, basically, is that just as different musical notes create melodies, the vibrations of the superstrings create the particles, interactions that form the fabric of the cosmos. And these concepts align with ancient ideas of the universe being a symphony of interconnected vibrations. So it all works together like a symphony in cosmic harmony. So in this sense, superstring theories do offer that metaphorical link between the scientific exploration of the universe's fundamental nature and, speaking to my poetical heart, the poetic notion that the universe itself is indeed a grand symphony resonating with the melodies of creation.
Now I get that a lot better.
Yeah.
It does explain as well why scientists now actually put out music into the universe to see what comes back, basically.
Yeah.
Because if the universe is made of these giant strings, then maybe if there is some other life form out there, yeah, or something out there, that'll resonate literally,
yes,
with them.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Music is a language in many ways. I mean, it does cross many different boundaries. I mean, look at Russia and China in terms of when the Cold War was up and you couldn't really go and visit these countries. And yet they had a voracious appetite for rock bands going on tour. How many rock bands toured Russia and China when it was when they were really truly communist and closed environments?
And you look at also, just going back to the rock music, there was bands who didn't probably make it as big in the UK or Europe, but they went over to Japan, went over to China and Australasia,
yeah,
and they became massive.
Spinal Tap.
I think of Michael Schenker as well.
Michael Schenker, Praying Mantis were massive, yeah, in Japan. Mm. I mean, and it's just, all this comes back to this whole idea that music is a unifying force and it's also a tribal force related or combined into one. And that's why it's magic. So we've discussed why music is so powerful and the impact it can have on us as human beings. We've discussed rock music and how it expresses the human condition. And we've talked about theories of why the entire universe is set to music. So is there anything else you'd like to add before we bring this to a close?
I mean, it's more of a personal thing for me. I can't ever see myself being anything other than a rocker and a wannabe guitar hero, because that's what moves me. And I think of the friendships I've built. For instance, Manny or Darren, we parted ways, we went our different paths. And music has brought us back together now.
Yeah.
So it builds relationships, it strengthens relationships. Again, just to summarize, it's the most powerful thing for me in the world.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. And I think if politicians would just open their minds and actually, just understand how music is so wonderful about bringing people together, maybe we should have some kind of world movement for music.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. So if you've enjoyed this, we do have a forum, which is darreninform.com/forum. And there'll be a post for this particular episode of ThinkWorks. Come and join us in there. Give us your examples where music has moved you. Give us your opinions and your views on how music can be magical. Or even if you just fundamentally disagree with what we've just spoken about, come and tell us why, and then we'll have a discussion. We don't want trolls. This is all about actually having a discussion, not an argument, if that makes sense. So come and join us for that. So we hope you've enjoyed our little discussion. I know we've rambled a bit, but that's me and Steve talking about music, and it's bound to happen, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah. We do.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Stephen?
I've just enjoyed it. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And let's say every day is a school day. I've learnt something about superstring theory.
Ah, brilliant. My mission is complete. You're coming back to join me for another couple of these, aren't you?
Well, a few, I think, we've got coming up in the next
few
weeks. Yeah,
so we're covering all kinds of topics from football.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Oh, we've got some great shows lined up for you, so come and join us for them. In the meantime, everyone, please take care. come and join us here in the forum, as I said, have a chat. Next week's ThinkWorks will be on a completely different subject, as it always is. But in the meantime, keep on rocking.
And look after yourself and each other.
Absolutely. Good thoughts and sentiments, indeed.
If you would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at Darren Inform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.